Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Flying Blind, The 737 MAX Tragedy and the Fall of Boeing is an investigative nonfiction account by Bloomberg journalist Peter Robison. It examines the two fatal crashes involving Boeing 737 MAX aircraft and places them within a longer history of managerial, engineering, and regulatory decisions. Rather than treating the disasters as isolated design failures, Robison argues that they emerged from a deep transformation in Boeing's institutional priorities. The book traces the company from its reputation for engineering rigor toward a management culture more focused on cost control, schedules, financial performance, and shareholder returns. It also considers the role of the Federal Aviation Administration, whose reliance on Boeing and certification weakened independent oversight. Combining corporate history, reporting on the MAX program, technical context, and the human consequences of the crashes, the book aims to explain how failures that appeared preventable were allowed to accumulate. Its central purpose is to connect product safety to organizational culture, leadership incentives, and public accountability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the 1997 merger as a turning point in Boeing's corporate culture. Robison presents Boeing's 1997 merger with McDonnell Douglas as an important point in the company's cultural evolution. The significance is not simply that two aerospace firms combined, but that their management assumptions differed. Boeing had long been identified with engineers and a product-centered view of commercial aviation, where reliability and technical judgment were fundamental to the business. The post-merger organization increasingly elevated leaders and practices associated with cost reduction, financial targets, outsourcing, and stock market performance. The book does not suggest that profitability and safety must inherently conflict. Instead, it shows how the balance can fail when financial measures become dominant and technical dissent loses institutional authority. Decisions that once might have received more engineering scrutiny could be framed primarily as schedule or budget problems. This historical perspective matters because it rejects a simplistic explanation in which the MAX crisis resulted from one defective system or one mistaken executive choice. Robison treats the aircraft program as the outcome of organizational habits formed over decades. The merger, therefore, functions as a lens for understanding how a company with an exceptional safety reputation could become vulnerable to choices that placed its reputation, customers, and passengers at risk. Secondly, the 737 MAX design challenge and the logic of incremental change. A central issue in Flying Blind is Boeing's response to competitive pressure in the narrow-body aircraft market. Rather than develop an entirely new airplane, Boeing updated the long-running 737 design to create the MAX. This choice brought commercial advantages, it promised a faster route to market, and helped preserve commonality with earlier 737 models, which was valuable to airlines seeking to limit training and operating disruption. Yet adapting an older airframe for newer, larger engines created engineering constraints. Robison explains that the MAX program cannot be understood apart from the pressure to deliver an aircraft quickly and at an attractive cost. The Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System, or MCAS, became part of the response to the aircraft's changed handling characteristics. The book's broader point is not that software itself is an improper solution. Modern aircraft necessarily depend on software. The concern is that a safety-critical system was embedded in a development and certification strategy, shaped by a desire to minimize changes visible to customers and pilots. By connecting technical design to commercial incentives, Robison makes clear that engineering decisions carry assumptions about training, disclosure redundancy, and acceptable risk. Those assumptions require rigorous challenge, not merely efficient execution. Thirdly, MCAS revealed the consequences of weak system safeguards. The MAX crashes made MCAS widely known, and Robison uses the system to illustrate how multiple safeguards can be weakened at once. MCAS could activate in response to data from a single angle of attack sensor. If that sensor provided erroneous information, the system could repeatedly command nose-down stabilizer movement. Pilots confronted confusing alerts, escalating forces, and limited time to diagnose and counter the problem. This was not solely a matter of a component malfunctioning. Aviation safety normally relies on layers of protection, resilient design, clear pilot information, robust training, transparent documentation, and an organizational willingness to reassess hazards. The MAX exposed gaps across these layers. Robison also emphasizes the importance of what pilots were told or not told about the system. Keeping differences between the MAX and prior 737s less conspicuous served the commercial goal of avoiding extensive simulator training, but it reduced pilots' preparation for a failure scenario involving MCAS. The analysis is valuable because it resists the search for a single culprit. A faulty sensor did not have to produce a catastrophe if surrounding systems and processes were designed to contain its effects. The tragedy demonstrates why safety engineering must account for foreseeable human and technical failures. rather than assuming that each element will work as intended. Fourthly, FAA delegation and the problem of regulatory dependence. Robison examines the Federal Aviation Administration as a necessary part of the story, arguing that oversight was constrained by a regulatory system increasingly dependent on manufacturer participation. The FAA delegates portions of certification work to qualified company employees, an approach intended to manage specialized technical work efficiently. Such delegation is not automatically improper, since regulators cannot independently replicate every aspect of complex aircraft development. The risk arises when delegated personnel operate under corporate pressures, while agency resources and institutional incentives limit independent challenge. In the Max case, the book depicts a system in which schedule pressure, industry relationships, and confidence in Boeing's established reputation narrowed the margin for skepticism. The FAA's response after the first crash also becomes a test of regulatory judgment. The agency allowed the aircraft to remain in service until the second fatal accident, despite mounting evidence of a serious problem. Robison's treatment broadens the book beyond corporate misconduct into a governance question. Public safety cannot rest only on the goodwill or technical competence of the regulated organization, especially when that organization faces strong commercial incentives. Effective oversight needs sufficient expertise, independence, authority, and readiness to question assumptions supplied by industry. The book thus frames regulatory capture less as a single corrupt act than as a gradual erosion of distance between watchdog and watched. Lastly, a corporate failure measured by human loss and lost trust. Flying blind keeps the human consequences of the Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines crashes at the center of its corporate analysis. The deaths of 346 people prevent the MAX crisis from becoming an abstract case study in governance. Families, passengers, pilots, and employees bore the consequences of decisions made far from the cockpit. This focus also clarifies why organizational language about efficiency, risk management, and shareholder value can be inadequate when it obscures who absorbs the downside of failure. Boeing gained commercially from controlling development costs and preserving sales momentum. But passengers and crews could not consent to the risks created by incomplete design protections or limited disclosure. The longer-term damage was also commercial and institutional. Grounding the MAX disrupted airlines and suppliers, harmed Boeing's reputation, triggered investigations and legal consequences, and reduced confidence in the FAA certification process. Robison's argument is therefore not that safety is separate from sound business practice. It is that treating safety as negotiable ultimately destroys the trust on which an aerospace manufacturer depends. The book invites readers to see reputation as the cumulative result of real operating choices, not a public relations asset. Rebuilding it requires more than managerial promises. It requires incentives and decision processes that give technical expertise, candor, and passenger welfare durable weight. In conclusion, Flying Blind will be especially useful to readers of aviation history, engineering ethics, corporate governance, and investigative business journalism. Aviation specialists may value its effort to connect the technical issues surrounding the MAX with the organizational setting in which they were evaluated. Managers, directors, regulators, and students of business ethics can use it as a concrete examination of how incentives, reporting structures, schedule pressure, and weak challenge mechanisms can turn routine trade-offs into systemic danger. General readers do not need technical training to follow its central argument, because Robison explains the stakes through the public consequences of corporate and regulatory decisions. The book also offers an intellectual benefit beyond assigning blame. It demonstrates that catastrophic failures usually develop through interacting choices, not a single dramatic error. Compared with accounts focused primarily on cockpit events, aircraft mechanics, or the chronology of the two crashes, Flying Blind stands out for its sustained corporate history. It asks why Boeing's internal culture became receptive to the choices that shaped the MAX, and why federal oversight did not provide a sufficient corrective. Its distinction lies in linking an engineering failure to a broader critique of shareholder-centered management and regulatory dependence. Readers should approach its larger cultural interpretation as a reported argument rather than the only possible explanation. But its core warning remains strong in safety-critical industries. Commercial success is durable only when institutions protect independent engineering judgment and public trust. If you would like to support Peter Robison, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.